Okay, we are actually just finishing Siman Tofresh Pehei, and we're going to be starting Siman Tofresh Pehvav shortly. But it's in this. We have. Yeah, have you got? Yeah. Just to finish of finishing touches with regards to Zohar, and I want to speak for a minute also about Tu Bishvat. Just a couple of points. First of all, we didn't quite give justice to the shaila of women and Zohar. We spoke, we have an obligation, which could be the Reise, to listen to Zohar, to listen to Parsha Zohar. And we learned that the Shulchan Aruch said that it's probably the Reise. We have to go to listen to Zohar. The question that we just didn't quite manage to discuss, thank you very much, is with regards to women. Do women have an obligation to listen to Zohar on Shabbat Zohar before Purim, or do women, are women exempt? What do you think, Rabbi Isai? Obligation, no obligation. Yes, obligation. Yes, obligation. No obligation. Time bound. Very good. Have you time bound? What? Oh, very good. Very good. Pardon? They're involved in the nest. So you think that since they're involved in the nest, although it's time bound, you should be obligated.
The time bound aspect of it seems to be a rabbinic kadosh.
Very good. How beautiful. This is mamash. These are such beautiful points. Very good. So what you are pointing out is that it's true that it may be time bound, but really we discussed yesterday the fact that we have an obligation to listen to Zohar, that's not really time bound. Chachomim have made a bit of time bound, but really essentially it's not a time bound mitzvah. So you're saying that according to that, women should be obligated. Very good. Yeah, what do you want to say? Same thing. So the Emma says, oh, just in time. Are women obligated or not obligated for Zohar? I'm asking you. Okay, so you said it quite correctly that the emes is that it's actually machlokes. That many achronim actually have various reasons why women should be exempt from zochayah. Be it because it may be time bound. Be it because the whole mitzvah of going to of eradicate Amalek is actually something which is only upon the men. Men have the obligation of destroying Amalek. This is something which is not on the women. So since it's only on the men to destroy Amalek, women don't have an obligation to destroy Amalek. So since the obligation of destruction of Amalek is only upon the men, it makes sense to say that only men are obligated and women are exempt. So there is either because of that or because of the time aspect of it. So there's various reasons why maybe women should be exempt, but truthfully, it's actually a matter of minhag. Many keheles kedoshes in Klal Yisrael have taken upon themselves that the ladies, the noshim tzidkonios, have taken on themselves to actually go and listen to Amalek. Certainly the Yekish minhag, and certainly I think that the Anglo-Saxon minhag. You go to the average, I think that many communities have taken on themselves, please tell me if I'm wrong, they've taken on that ladies actually do listen to Zohar on Shabbos Zohar. Yes, some communities don't, and that's fine, and I heard that, and I saw in some of the forum that they say that it could be leading to a lack of tznias, and therefore they recommend not to go. But I think generally speaking, the minhag is in many Litvisha and certainly Yekish communities, that ladies do listen to Parsha Zohar on Shabbos Zohar. That's what some I saw in some Achari. I don't know what the circumstance was. I saw that in one of the Polish poskim pre-war. He said that it may lead to Anoshim Venoshim getting together, and it may lead to. So that's what his concern was. But this may be outdated. I'm not sure. So that's with regards. There's some question which is some poskim do question the idea of taking out the Sefer Torah for ladies and lining specially for ladies. Some poskim question that as to whether it's appropriate or inappropriate to take out the Sefer Torah and line special for ladies. Some posts can question that as to whether it's appropriate or not. But I think at the minhag again for that, what is the minhag for that?
There is normally a second reading,
which that itself implies that we are lenient with regards to that. We are mati taking out a sefer Torah and we line for ladies in many shuls, so we're lenient with regards to that because we want them to fulfill the obligation properly. So that's. Because if they have a lesser degree, or if they have a if they have no obligation to listen from a Sefer Torah, you then take out the Sefer Torah Shlo Litzorich, which is also. No, but taking it out and learning from it without the Tzorach would be an Issa.
Good point.
Because that's not generally what you're doing, I suppose. You sing Kiyashma also not. It's a good point. It's a very valid point. Very valid point. Why should it be no worse than the Limud Torah that we say by Kiyashma? Very valid point. I'm taking your point. Yeah. Okay, I do want to mention, because it's very rare that it's not in many places that the Mishneh Berurah and the Poskim mention Tu B'Shvat. And since it was just nearly there, so I do want to just finish off the Mishneh Berurah Sifkot Yud Ches, if I may, before we start with Siman Tov Resh Pei Vav. So I'm just starting in the middle of Sifkot Yud Ches, literally the last few lines. He says, I'm literally starting in the middle, Kosav Ma'aril. So he brings from the Heilige Ma'aril, B'chol Abba Parashis, En Maskirim Neshamas, whenever Maskir Neshamas in the fourth Parashis, V'omrim Tzidkoscha Tzedek. Lenin Avrachamim, Be'eli Rabba, with regards to Avrachamim, the Eli Rabba says, B'shem Agoz Maimoni, Di'e Shlomo Be'em Avrachamim. It's unbelievable, I always get so impressed how much discussion there is in the postgame as to whether one should say Avrachamim on Shabbos or not. How long does it take to say Avrachamim? How long does it take? On Shabbos, how long does it take?
2 minutes.
2 minutes, that's quite, I've yet to see a shul that spends 2 minutes on it. So it's a grand total of probably less than a minute. And it's unbelievable how much the postgame discuss. You do say Avachim, you don't say Avachim. It's very impressive. I always find that very, very inspiring. He said that Eli Rabbi says we do say Avrachim on Shabbos, on the Abba Parshas. The Ramah said in the name of the Marim, we don't say. And then he ends off saying, literally a last line, velin tivness shall shovevim tat ein bever hate veshar tshuva. So again, just to remind us, shovevim is the first few sedras of Sefer Shmois. Shmois vaeiro b'shalach boy yisro mishpotem tumet etzave. So that makes shovevim tat. Now shovevim tat is something which is brought in the where he brings the shovevim. The minig of Shovim to, since just as Klal Yisrael, these are the parashas that Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim, they went out from Golus to Geula, so the idea is that the early Achronim write, and it's based on Sifrei Nista, that also us, we should also redeem ourselves from our own spiritual Golus and going to Geula. And that's why there's minhagim to shovim shiurim, which is particular on Yeridah and Chesnida. That's where the minhag comes from, shovim. That's what he mentioned over here. And here it's specifically brought in context of tainus. I think there's not many Yidden who have that minhag anymore nowadays, but it's something which is brought down in poskim of fasting on Thursday of shovim. We learned that Mishneh Berurah takes generally the approach that we don't really fast so much nowadays. It's better to be careful with one's mouth. What you give out of your mouth rather than being makbid while you take into your mouth. We saw the Shulchan Aruch says earlier that we should be, instead of taking tarnasing on himself, one should be makbid of careful the speech that we actually talk, that we should be careful what we say. The Mishneh Berurah says we should, that's our general approach, Mishneh Berurah Paskens. But we should be aware that there is such a concept of tarnasing during Shovavim on fasting on Thursdays. But again, it's not very common nowadays. The Behetev also quotes this, that we fast on Thursday of Shovavim. That is what the Behetev brings. Now, I do want to just mention over here, Tu B'Shvat, because the Shai Tshuva brings Tu B'Shvat over here. And there's very, very little in the poskim about Tu B'Shvat. The Shai Tshuva reminds us of a Mishnah, of a Mogen Avon, which is quoted in... sorry, Shmuley, do you mind? Chilik Beis, I'm sorry, it's my mistake. Can you bring up Chilik Beis, please? Yeah, Chilik Beis, please, yeah. It's not in many places that Shulchan Aruch and Oisikelim bring Tu B'Shvat. Now, it's quite... Shkoyach. And it's quoted over here. It's actually not over... What's Tu B'Shvat in Halacha? So the Mishneh Berurah Paskens... Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchas Nefilas Apayim, Nagu, the custom is not to say Tachanun, not on Tu Be'av, not on Tu Be'Shvat, not on Rosh Chodesh, not B'Mincha, and not B'Mincha before then, on Chanukah, and not on Purim. These are the days that we don't say Tachanun. Again, Nagu Shalipat Neim Loi Tu Be'av, the 15th of Av, the 15th of Shvat, not on Rosh Chodesh, and not on Chanukah and Purim. These are the days, like Boim is ready to Ramah. Now, with regards to Tu B'Shvat, this is if I'm not mistaken, it could be I am, if I'm not mistaken, that's the only place that Tu B'Shvat is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. Mishneh Berurah says, with regards to Tu B'Shvat, why is that? What's Tu B'Shvat? What's Tu B'Shvat? What's the occasion of Tu B'Shvat? Oh, says the Mishneh Berurah, Shehu Rosh Hashanah Le'inolais. It's the anniversary of the trees. And then the Mishneh Berurah adds a few words, V'noyagim Ashkenazim, the Ashkenazim minig is, L'harbois us, to increase on that particular day, B'minei peiros, to have more fruit, Shalinonis of trees. That's the Mishneh Berurah said, that Tu B'Shvat means not to say Tachanon, and to increase, to have a bit more fruit, and to make better peiros, and to have more fruit on Tu B'Shvat. That's just to give justice to Mishneh Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch with regards to Tu B'Shvat. Okay. Okay, that leads us to Siman Tov Resh Pei Vav. So far, so good? Okay. Siman Tov Resh Pei Vav. Din Tanis Esther. We're now moving on. We've spoken about the Arba Pashas. Now we're ready to move on to Din Tanis Esther. Who is obligated to fast, Tanis Esther? Who is obligated to fast? What about pregnant ladies? Nursing ladies? Obligated? Not obligated. What about somebody not feeling well? Slight migraine? No, migraine is not slight, I suppose. Slight, you know, a bit of unwellness, obligated, not unwell. What happens if somebody, it's a controversial one, but I'm going to ask it. What happens if somebody, he can't fast, he'll make it. What time is Matzah Tanis this year? Roughly? Five? Okay. What happens if somebody, you know, he can fast. He knows he can fast. But he knows very well that always the day after the Tanis, he always has a splitting headache. He knows. He does it every year. Every Tanis, he fast. Always the day after Tanis, he's knocked out. Semi-knocked out. Not in bed, but he's got this headache the whole day. No, well, good one. Good. No, my question is based on fasting. When he fasts, he doesn't drink enough. On the day after, he's always going to have a headache. Always. It's a rule. He always has a headache the next day. Or he's not feeling well. He's not bekoiches, as we say. Is he obligated to fast on Tanis Esther, yes or no? But he can fast. It's not that he's going to be ill from it. He can fast. You're saying it's not affecting him now. You're saying it's not affecting him now, so surely he's obligated. If Purim is going to be a Purim that is not a very good Purim, so that's tough. Yeah, what do you suggest? It's Purim, so therefore what? Very good. You're saying that next day is a very, very good point. You're saying that next it will be a random day, midweek Tuesday, and you're just going to go to work with a sour face like. Then fine. Okay, so that's one thing. But if the next day is going to be Purim, I mean, next Purim, on Purim, you're going to may be a bit more energetic, and you're going to be, so it's maybe not right to fast the day before, because maybe that's going to, if he ruins your Purim, that's in it. Okay, says the Shulchan Aruch, we're going to discuss this shalosh shortly, mitzvah Hashem. Bechanukah v'Purim, seif Aleph, page 300. Bechanukah v'Purim, first of all, we learn, on Chanukah and Purim, mutalis anres lifneim v'lachem. As opposed to other days, Chanukah and Purim, you are allowed to fast, lifneim v'lachereim. The day before Chanukah, the day before Purim, the day after Chanukah, the day after Purim, you're allowed to fast. Mishneh Berurah says, it's not only with regards to fasting, but very important, v'chein behesped shori. It's also, you're allowed to make a hesped. We know that Moshe Feinstein was nifta on Mamashas before Purim. So this was a very relevant halacha as to whether a person is allowed to make a hesped just before Purim. So we're learning over here that hesped is permitted, Mishneh Berurah paskens, hesped shori. Hesped, to make a hesped is permitted the day before Purim, the day before Chanukah it's permitted. Very good. Quite right. Because he was brought, it's very true, because the kvur was in Eretz Yisrael. So it actually happened to be ready. You're right. It was actually Eretz Yisrael, but he was actually nifted before. He was actually nifted before. In America, he was still before Purim. Yes, that true as well. Yeah. Correct. Okay, Sif Beis. Mis'anin b'yud gimel b'adol. There is a tainus on the gimel on the 13th of Adar. We have a tainus, a fast day. And then the Shulchan Aruch adds, v'im chal Purim b'echad b'Shabbos. If Purim falls on Sunday, which day is it falling this year? I think it's midweek, isn't it?
Thursday.
Okay, so if Purim falls midweek, if Purim falls on Sunday, Shulchan Aruch teaches us, the halacha is, makdim lis'anis b'yom chamishi, then we all know that Tanis Esther is on Thursday. Okay. Says the Mishnah Berurah of Cotton Base. Very important Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah of Cotton Base says the following. Mis'anin b'yud gimel b'adar. We fast on the 13th of Adar. Why? Why do we fast? So we're going to see over here that the Mishnah Berurah is going to show us that this fast is actually, it's different than all the other Tanisim that we have got. It's different. It's been established in a different way than all the other Tanaisim. Why is that? So Mishmu explains. Ki bimei Motcha ve'Esther. During the days of Motcha and Esther. Nikalu b'yoyim yud gimel be'adar. On the 13th of Adar, Yidden got together. They gathered. Leilochem to fight. Ve'lamoid al nafshom and to save their lives. Voyutzrichim levakei shrachamim. They needed to seek Ribbono Shloilam, Hashem's mercy. V'sachnunim, and yeah, they need mercy from Ribbono Shloilam. Sheyazrem, that Hashem should help them. Sheyazrem Hashem. Leinokem Ovem, they should be saved and protected from the enemies. That's what happened during the times of Esther and Mordechai. Moshe Rabbeinu, Olav HaSholem, B'yom Shinlochem, Amalek HaYom Yis'ane. Excuse me, I skipped the line. Please excuse me. Umatzinu, we find, Kshehoyu, B'yom Melchom HaShem Yis'ane. So we find that they fasted because they were really concerned. They were really scared. They had Amalek, they had Haman trying to rid them, and they had to save their lives. So they fasted. That's what he says. Motzinu kshebeim el chamer was a shem isanim. They fasted. Sheken amru Rabbi Seinu. Then we find it with, in the Gemara as well. Shemoshe Rabbeinu le Bashalom b'yom shenilchem Amalek. Or yemisanim. We find also that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he fought Amalek, he fasted as well. Now this is all true in previous generations. Vim ken therefore bevadai gam b'memotcha yemisanim b'oisayim. He certainly motcha certainly fasted. V'lochein noagus. Therefore, consequently, noagu kolis lisoel is anus b'yom. Just like they fasted to save their lives, so also the custom is that we fast on the 13th of Adar too. Do you hear that? We also, just like they fasted because they fought their enemies, so therefore the custom is that we fast too. What is very striking about these words? No shaykhas. So, well, the Mishnah Berurah explains that it's just that it's a minhag that was established based on that war they had then. Because Motcha and Esther, they were petrified and they davened and they fasted. So, therefore, the custom was we fast on that day too. I want to add two lines of it to the Mishnah Berurah. V'nikra Tanis Esther, and this fast is called Tanis Esther, k'delisko, in order to remember, sh'Hashem isbarach, that Hashem, roye, he sees, v'shomea, he listens, kol ish, every man, be'ez terosa, in time of suffering, k'ashe yis'ane, when he fasts, v'yoshev el Hashem, and he returns to Hashem, b'chol evo, with all his heart, k'mo she'osa, b'yamim, like it was in those days. So again, Mishnah Berurah says that just like in those days they were in agony, they were petrified, it was really dangerous, it was like, they fasted to save their lives. So the custom is that we also fast when Yud Gimel Adar, because we also, we want to, with our own sufferings and our own problems, we turn to Ribbono Shel Olam, and we hope that Hashem listens to our problems. But I think the striking word, this is a quotation from the Rambam, it's not just a literal quotation of the Rambam, the striking word is... The striking word is nohagu. The custom is. What does that imply? That it's the level of obligation is a level of obligation of minhag. Now, I don't want to be taken out of context because a minhag is also to some extent an obligation. It's not just a minhag of, you know, it's that's right. it's an obligation, but indeed, I agree with you, it's a lesser obligation, a lower level of obligation than other Tanis that we have got. I mean, never mind Yom Kippur, of course, and Tisha B'Av, even the other minor Tanis that we have got are still made into a takona, into a some level of takona, some level of rabbinic obligation. Over here, this is a bit lower than that. It's a minik, yes. Somebody who's peretz geder, somebody doesn't keep minhagim, one has to. But nevertheless, we're going to see there's some leniencies with regards to this tarnas. Why is there leniencies? Because it's on the level of a minik as opposed to an absolute obligation. Does that make sense? I think it's an important thing. Noagu, it's a quotation of the Rambam. Noagu kol Yisrael is anas bit gimala. When Chachomim established it, they established it as a noagu, as a minik, as a custom, rather than an absolute obligation. Correct. Very good. That's a diuk as well. Yeah, correct. So that's what we find over here. There is something which is just as we're going to see the other differences. Yeah, let me start with the Ramah. The Ramah adds, it's straight based on very this, I think we can really appreciate and understand the depth of the words of the Ramah. The Ramah says over here, after having understood that, the Ramah says, V'tan ezeh in echoiva. This tan is not an absolute obligation. Lochein, therefore, yesh lehakel bo leisatzorich. If necessary, one can be lenient. What are the examples? Now the examples is already, we thought we can get away with it. But look what the examples are of the Ramah. Kegoin, such as meuberes, a pregnant woman, oi men nikois, or a nursing mother, oi lechoile, or a choile, an unwell person, she'en bo sakon, who has got no danger. Those are exempt from the tanis. So who is exempt? Pregnant, nursing, or choile she'en bo sakon. Choile, we have learned, we've covered that many times. Choile she'en bo sakon is a level of choile. Choile she'en bo sakon is, he's really ill, he's ill, but there's no danger involved. What would be an example? Pardon? Temperature is a good example, unless it's really high, then it's sakana. But if it's just a little bit of a higher temperature, there's no danger. Nowadays, there's no danger in it. So that would be cholish and by sakana. Somebody says, that's called cholish by sakana. The remark continues, and he says, v'afilu rakoya ve'inayim. And he says, even somebody has got a lot of pain in the eyes. She'im mitztarim harbe, if he's got a lot of pain, lo yisanu. He doesn't have to fast. Ve'ifru achakach, but you won't have to fast on the 13th of Adar, but you'll have to pay back. When you're feeling a bit better, you'll have to pay back. So that's what the leniency is. So we started off saying that it's not such a big obligation. Halach lemaise, it's talking about menekes, meuberes, cholish ein b'sakona, koya ve'inayim, who they have to pay back when they feel a bit better. Okay.
What's paying back to fast?
Yeah. If you don't, yeah. Lemaise, the Mishneh Berurah says, we don't, the Mishneh Berurah is a bit mistopic about it, but the consensus of the poskim is that they won't have to pay back. That if they don't have to fast on the 13th, they will not have to pay back. So a muberes, menekes, pregnant and nursing, not feeling well, you won't have to pay back. That's halach lemaisa, the leniency so far of Tanis Esther. Okay. The Ramah continues, Aval Share Briem, anybody else who's feeling healthy, Lo Yifreshu Min Hatzir, but they should not distance themselves from the community. By the way, what does this sound like, these words? Lo Yifreshu Min Hatzir, but they shouldn't distance themselves from the community. What does that mean? Pardon? Yeah, I would say even more than that. Yeah, you're right, it's a very accepted meaning, but you will not see that kind of wording when it comes to Tisha B'Av. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, you're not going to see, you have to fast, don't distance yourself from the community. Because you've got an absolute obligation to fast. You don't need to come on to, don't distance yourself from the community. Over here we are saying, because the obligation is actually initially quite a weak obligation, so what we're saying over here is, don't distance yourself from the community. Don't be Polish men at simple. Everybody else fast as well. You'll be alright. That's what the Mishneh Berurah passes over here. Okay, now, I do want to point out, that the Mishneh Berurah says that what is considered the yoledes? How long after birth is a lady considered a yoledes? How long after birth? How long would you say? 30 days. That's the Mishneh Berurah. Parsons if cotton dalet. He says 30 days. Kol shloshim gamu meikel 30 days. There is some poskim who are more lenient with regards to meinekes, and meinekes, a nursing mother. Many, how long is nursing considered nursing? How long does a nursing mother not need to fast? Tanis Esther. Pardon? Until she stops nursing. That's an approach that is also, many poskim say that. As long as she's nursing, she doesn't have to fast. After that, she should. Very good. So the Ma'asham, very good. The Ma'asham says 24 month. The Ma'asham brings that 24 month after birth, a lady is considered menekes even if she stops nursing, because she's not fully bekoches yet. Okay, we'll have to ask the ladies if they feel that 24 month after birth, if they still feel the birth. But that's what the Ma'asham says, and I think that some poskim take that approach, certainly with regards to Tanis Esther. Now, the question I asked earlier with regards to somebody when he fasts on Tanis Esther, he'll feel quite exhausted, or not well, should I say, on Purim. I saw today a Ma'asham. Now we have to realize Ma'asham was always, he was generally quite a mekel. And the Ma'asham brings from a Das Torah that, based on what you are saying, that since Purim is so important to be well and energetic on Purim, that he takes an approach and he says that possibly a person could be lenient. Now I don't want to be misquoted on that one, because I didn't see this anywhere else besides in the Ma'asham. And I wonder if everybody agrees to that. Certainly the consensus of the Mishnah Berurah doesn't bring it, and I think that the fact that it doesn't bring it and it's not brought down in any poskim sounds like they wouldn't be leaning on that. But I do feel it's worthwhile mentioning that the Ma'asham says that if a person really feels the day after the fast, he's really completely knocked out, he can't enjoy Purim, he comes to the mitzvah Zayom properly, enthusiastically, personally, that is exempt from the mitzvah. Now, I must say that we have to, I don't know, because it doesn't always apply. Certainly, if, no, according to him, you don't have to make it up. You don't have to make it up. The question is, if that's, it's not relevant every year anyway, because remember, when Tanis Esther falls on Thursday, Purim on Sunday, for sure that wouldn't be sufficient reason. But it's something I just thought it's an interesting ma'amokam. And we all know that, I mean, I can't speak from experience, but we have all seen it, that drinking after fast makes a Purim a very happy start of Purim. Okay, we'll carry on tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.